notes will not blow away this time. Learning something along the way. Good morning, Kirk of the Hills. Good morning, friends. Good morning, guests. We are so glad that you decided to come out and brave the chilly fall weather to be with us today. For those of you watching online, we're glad that you're watching online as well. Not a bad choice, thus, to stay warm, but we are glad to be gathered together. Whether we're in our living rooms, whether we're here in this space, we are one body. We are united in Jesus Christ, united in our love for one another, united in our desire to worship God today because He is worthy of our worship, and just to experience His presence with us. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in such great truth this morning already. Well, today we're going to talk about love, in case you didn't notice from how many times the word showed up in our text this morning. Love is a universal ideal. It spans all times, all places, all cultures. Everybody has some kind of concept. Every worldview talks about love. Every system of ethics, in order to be complete, must define what it means to love and to be loved. Part of the difficulty we find ourselves living in right now is that we're living in a time when it's becoming increasingly more and more popular to reject any kind of external objective system that tells us how we should live our lives. And without a standard, our human nature kicks in. We're going to come up with how we think we should live. We're going to write our own standard. We're going to create our own playbook, if you will. And that sounds like a very freeing thing, right? To just be able to live our lives however we want. But what if, in fact, this choose-your-own-adventure approach to life is not actually that freeing? What if it's not actually that sustainable? What if it's not livable? Because if each person gets to write their own reality, define their own reality, in particular here, define what love is and what that looks like, we can't live in community with one another. History has shown us this. We can't just let each individual person define their own reality in life. And so we need something, actually more specifically, we need someone outside of ourselves to tell us what it actually looks like to be a human being. We need something outside of ourselves to define what love looks like and how we are to love one another. And so this morning we're continuing in our series in the book of 1 John. If you're joining us for the first time, or maybe for the first time in this series, you picked a good week because John really summarizes a lot of what he's talking about here in chapter 4. John's primary concern in this book is that his audience, which includes us today, many, 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 many years later, he wants us to understand the truth of the gospel. He wants us to be unified in the gospel, to walk in the light of the gospel, and to share the love of the gospel. And this morning we're going to see how the foundation for each of these aspects is found in the very love of God. It is the love of God that gave us the gospel, that unifies us, that enables us to walk with God and to share God's love with other people. This morning we're going to see that in chapter 4, that there is a flow to love, a flow of love that we were made for, a life-giving movement of love in our lives that God designed for us. Many aspects of life were designed for flow or for movement. I'll just give you one example. Let's think about the water cycle on the earth. Yes, Sunday morning you need a science lesson. I'm not a scientist. I think I passed science in high school. I don't remember at this point. So if I leave out anything or I get something wrong, feel free to correct me. But here's basically how it works. Okay, most of Earth's water supply is stored in the oceans or in rivers or streams. There's water even underwater. We understand the water table, right? There's water everywhere. We need water to live. But we need water to be spread out. Okay? And so the sun, I know it's kind of mean to talk about the sun at this point. That'd be wonderful. The sun is what actually drives the water cycle. Because the sun warms up the water that's on the surface of the earth, and then it goes up into the air as vapor, okay? And that goes upward, and then as that vapor rises, it cools and it condenses and forms clouds, okay? And then those clouds eventually, those cloud particles get heavier, they grow, and then it drops down onto the earth as precipitation in the form of rain, sleet, snow, or hail. We hope we don't get any of that right now, okay? So basically what happens is you have water, it rises, and then it falls, and then it spreads out. It's this ongoing cycle. And we need that to happen because we need water for life. There's a flow to that. And when we get too much water or not enough water in the wrong place, it causes problems. Okay, remember last year, I know it feels like 5 years ago at this point, last year, we had a situation where there was too much water in the wrong place at the wrong time with nowhere to flow, nowhere to go. And so we had historic flooding. Most of our friends on the west side of the river took the brunt of it, but there was historic flooding because there was too much water. It didn't have the right place to go. And so when there's a breakdown in the system, there's a breakdown in the flow. The same is true in our spiritual lives. There's a flow that we were created for. And so the foundation of this is we must know the source of that flow of love. And scriptures tells us that the world was created and was sustained by a God who is love. God who is love. You've probably heard this phrase many, many times in your life. God is love. It's so simple. It's so profound. We can't let that be lost on us. God is love. John says it two times. In verse 8, whoever does not know love does not know God, because God is love. And then in verse 16, we know and rely on the love of God for us. God is love. Now, to say that God is love is not the same thing to say that love is God. Right? So love is not God. God is not some kind of abstract idea or energy in the world. No, God is a personal being. So when John says God is love, what he's saying is that love is an attribute of God. It's one of the ways that we describe God's character. God cannot do other than love because he is love. Pure expression. It's one attribute among many, and yet because each of God's attributes are perfect and whole and pure, they all work together. So we know that God is all powerful. And yet God is also loving. And so in God exerting his power, he always does it in love. God is a God of justice. So as God loves, he always does what is just and right. But yet what he does that is just and right is always what is loving. They work together. But about no one else could we say they are love. We can be loving from time to time. We can do it. But only God is the one that we can say God is love. Does it perfectly. And so from that, the flow of love begins with the love of God. Verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. We don't know anything about love except that God sent his love into the world. That's the first flow. Love comes from above down to us. God teaches us what it means to love and to know him. There can be no explanation, no definition of true love, which does not start first from God's love. He introduces it to us. He shows it to us. We can make love to be about roses and candy and diamond rings or a really nice car with a bow wrapped around it on Christmas morning. Nothing wrong with giving gifts to express love, but it's much more than that. I can give you a box of chocolates and not love you at all. That's the truth. It's more than that. So what is it? What is true love? How do we know what love is? And how do we know that God loves us? Here it is, verse 10. Don't miss it. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's it. That's the statement. This is how we know once and for all that God loves us and that he is for us, because he sent his son to be a sacrifice for our sins. He gave us his best. We all deserve to die because we're all sinful. The penalty for that sin is death. This is the truth. It's not a very popular truth today, but it's the truth. And because of Christ Jesus' love for us as God's children, he died for us in our place as a sacrifice for sins. This is the gospel. It's the good news. It restores our relationship with God by taking away the penalty for our sins and the wrath of God upon himself. It's just what we sang about just a few minutes ago. It's a beautiful truth and it never gets old. God's love for us is completely unconditional. It's based upon his grace. We can't do anything to earn it or deserve it. Grace is unconditional acceptance given to undeserving people by an unobligated giver, by a God who loves us so much that out of his goodness and mercy and grace, he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, who voluntarily went and died in our place the death that we deserved. And because of this, the love of God is designed to transform us. It changes us. See, the truth is, God accepts us exactly as we are. We don't have to get our act together. We don't have to clean our life up. We don't have to do enough good deeds in order for God to accept us. He accepts us exactly as we are, but he doesn't leave us where we're at. He takes us in, but he changes us. And so God's love for us is a downward flow, and the result of that is an upward flow of love. First of all, in love for God. Verse 17, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Earlier in the letter, he wrote this, we know we've come to know him if we keep his commands. And then later, next week, he's going to say again, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. God expressed his love and his commitment to his people in the book of Exodus. He promised that he would be our God and that we would be his people. And the response that we are to have is found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This word strength is a difficult word to try to express. It really means with every fiber of your being. Because God has loved us so much, we are to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, and with every aspect of who we are. We're going to give all of ourselves over to him because he is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of our love. One of the primary ways that we express our love for God is through obedience to his commands. Jesus said in John 14, If you love me, you will keep my commands. And so the love of God is poured down into our lives. It first expresses itself upward toward God in loving God. There's a beautiful promise that's attached to this. Our love for God, expressed in our obedience and becoming like him, results in an appropriate confidence before him that drives out fear and defeats our greatest enemy, death. Verse 18, it says, There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You know, if all that's going on in our world hasn't showed us a lot of things, which I hope it has, but I hope that we've been reminded again as a people that we're not in control, that life is very unpredictable, and that we need something that is sure and steady in the midst of a crazy, unpredictable world. We need a confidence. We need a steady anchor. And that is found in Jesus Christ. That gives us a steadiness in the midst of the craziness of our world. We don't have to fear death. That's powerful. It's powerful at all times, but it's powerful even during a pandemic. None of us knows. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know where any of this is going. That's the truth. None of us knows how long our life will be, what our days is. But we don't have to fear death. That means we can live differently. The love of God comes down to us. We're to love God in return. And now the final piece where John comes in this whole section is the result of this love is that we are to love others. Verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The love of God poured into our lives is so that we will love God and we will love our neighbors. The flow of love really takes the shape of the cross of Jesus Christ. It comes down to us, it goes upward, and it goes outward. There's a vertical aspect to our love for God, and there's a horizontal aspect, our love for neighbors. And what Scripture makes super clear is that we cannot separate these two realities. We cannot be people who say that we love God and yet fail to love our brothers and sisters. Jesus made it super practical. He gave a positive example. He says, if you do anything for the least of these, you did it for me. Even something as simple as giving someone water to quench their thirst. That very simple act, if you have done it for them, you've done it for me. In other words, the love for our neighbor is the same as if we were loving God. James gave us a negative example. He says, you cannot bless the name of God and yet curse your brother and sister who's made in the image and likeness of God. So how do we experience God's love? We need to know who God is. He's told us who he is in his word. And so as you read God's word, I want to encourage you, don't forget to ask the important question, always. What does this tell us about who God is? As we read the Bible, it can be very easy for us to want to jump to the question, what am I supposed to do? We want to know the application. Well, the application flows out of knowing who God is, knowing God's love. And so as we read the scriptures, we want to ask, God, who are you? Reveal your love to me as I open the scriptures. We need to meditate on God's love in prayer and in worship. We need to rehearse it in our lives by memorizing scripture, by being aware of God's character and his attributes. We need to allow it to shape our hearts. Not just to know who God is, but to experience his love in our lives. And finally, we need to share it with others. His love is actually made complete in us when we share it with others. And that's where this flow idea comes from that I started with. This idea that there's a cycle to water. Well, there's a cycle to the love. God pours his love into our lives, but the flow of that is designed that we give it away. We don't just keep it for ourselves. We also, though, we can't do the opposite. We can't be people who are constantly just giving and giving away, but we're not receiving from God. There's got to be a love and a flow of the love of God in our lives ongoingly, that we receive it and we give it away. We receive it and we give it away. We need to look to the cross. Maybe the flow of love isn't what you want it to be in your life, and the solution is not to look to yourself, to just try harder. God, I want to love you more. God, I want to love my neighbor more. No, we need to look to God. We need to look. It's not that we first loved, but that he loved us. The cross is where God poured out his love to us and affirmed to us how much he loves us, that he loves us unconditionally. The cross is where we receive the love of God in our life so that we can give it away. Friends, we're uniquely united by this cross of love. It makes us into a peculiar people. And that's what sets us apart. Would you join me as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. I pray, Father, that love would be real, it would come alive in our hearts, it would change the way we think, the way we act. Lord, I pray that if our love has grown cold, God, that you would bring it alive in our hearts again by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you make us into a community of people who love our neighbors well, so that the world might know of your great love for us. God, help us to love well so that people would see that you are at work in our lives. God, I pray that this book of 1 John would take deep root in our lives and would change us and make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. God, pour out your love upon us that we might share it with others freely. Because we know, Lord, that your love is inexhaustible. It never runs out. You just pour more and more and more into our heart and into our lives. So, God, we need you. We trust in you. You are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray.